yes. So it's a good song. And I've heard this song, but it's been a long time, so I'm going to ask Jason to play through it once just to make sure everybody knows it. Sunday night. The first Sunday in February, we are going to have our celebration for the 45th anniversary of the church. And the update, of course, is that we are going to have our normal services, and then during the morning service, we're going to do a hymn sing slash singspiration slash testimony time. All right, so I hope you'll come prepared. Doesn't have to be long, a couple of minutes, whatever you want to do there. And if you happen to have a song, we'll have the 101 books out, and you'll have the chorus book and the hymn book there too. So you can pick anything you like out of any of those books. And if it happens to go with whatever your testimony is about, that's great too. So we'll take some time to thank the Lord for what he's done for us.
Amen.
And I think we'll have a great time. And then, of course, as Pastor was saying, we are going to have a meal following the morning service downstairs. Hope you'll bring some good food. We usually do. There's always an overabundance. So hope you'll come prepared for that. The church will provide everything else as we normally do. And then we'll, of course, have the evening service. And we'll have a modified Lord's table during the evening service, and Pastor will let us know how that's going to work. I'm curious to see what the change rules will be. But regardless, it's been a long time since we've been able to have it, and I think it's important. So, all right. So that's it's going to be a full day on the first Sunday in February, the 7th. And in case some of you may not have heard, and if you not wanted to say something yourself, that's fine, but Pastor and his family have now found a home.
Amen.
So I went by and found it the other day, by the way. I'm familiar with Allentown, having worked there for 26 years in the bus ministry of my old church, so I'm familiar with where most of the streets are. And one thing that's interesting about the east side of Allentown is what they did is they started naming streets and following the alphabet. It starts with Albert, and the letters keep going the further east you go. And I think the furthest one is like something like Q, maybe, like Quincy Street or something like that. But so they did that on this side of the river. I don't really know why. They didn't do that in the main part of town. But anyway, so we're thankful that God has provided, and then it's just a matter of getting all the details settled. So that's good. So we're looking forward to what God has in store there. As far as I know, that's all the announcements that I'm aware of. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes 1:9. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. All right. I messed it up at the air. Okay. All right. Jason, you have another one?
Yeah, 58.
Living by faith. Very good. 58.
Thank you.
did forget one announcement, and that is on Sunday, Brother Mark Reno will be here. Okay, so it's been quite a while since he's been here. His family was here last week. Brother Mark has been working with the Conversion Center there trying to reach Catholics for many number of years now. I can't even remember how many years. How long has Mark been doing that? It's got to be well over 10 years, right?
It's a while.
Okay. It's been a long time. He's been doing very well with that work, and looking forward to seeing him. He'll give us, I'm sure, a report on how things have been going. We'll see about next Wednesday. I'm not sure yet. So we'll see. Okay. Try not to take long on requests tonight. I want to give the pastor as much time as we can. But any new requests that anybody has? Yes, Don.
An update on Shavi. She's still in the hospital. Okay. She is improving. She's on 4 liters of oxygen right now, and they're trying to wean her off of that. And I guess as soon as they can get her down and off of it, they will be able to send her home. So she's improving.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I just want to give an update on Chris.
George. Okay.
I think he had about 1 year at most to live. So we're trying to say that he's okay.
Okay. The update, in case you didn't hear, Chris George has a year at most left to live based on his cancer that he has. And so we need to keep praying that the Lord saves him during that time. Yes?
Okay. I have a few. First, I would like for us to pray for something called the High Amendment, and this amendment is an amendment that protects unborn children from abortion. And the reason I think for us to pray is because Susan Rice and the Democrats, they are not pro-life, and they are trying to rid this amendment for financial gain or to support their whatever organizations that do. Support abortion, the amendment is something that's been in place, and they're trying to rid it. So it does protect the unborn from abortion. And then second, I want to ask you, there was a family down in Alabama, and there was a lot of people who lost their homes to the weather, to the tornado. So this one, we don't know who they are, but just want to ask that we pray for the families that lost their homes in Alabama, and for those people that are not safe, that they would, that through this situation, they would come to know the Lord. And also, there was a police officer in the Bronx, New York. He was shot, and as far as they know right now, he's by the Lord's will, he's recovering. So let's pray for him. And also, I don't get his name, but God knows who he is, and he prays that he would get saved. And then two more I recently heard about this, and I kind of broke my heart that we have human trafficking in this country where they're stealing children. And they just recently recovered rescue children.
33 of them out in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that is just plain.
And many of those children have been missing for a long time.
Yeah. So, but it's happening. It could be happening right here in Pennsylvania, where they're stealing kids, you know.
not kids, but trafficking of
young women.
Mm-hmm. The one hotel right over here on Airport Road, was probably about 5 years ago, they caught some people who were doing that over there in that hotel.
So let's just keep these folks in the same.
Definitely happens close to home.
The other thing is the coal miners, President Biden just put something into legislation which causes the coal mining workers not to, to lose their jobs because they're not able now to do the piping and all that, which I'm not totally understanding at all, but I heard
it's an environmental, nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. It's a climate issue, which I don't know what one thing has to do with the other, but lots of coal miners have families and thousands of jobs that were lost because of it. And then finally, and we need credit these folks to say whoever they are. And finally, I want to please continue to keep Donald J. Trump in prayer for if he saves spiritual growth, if he's not salvation, him and his family, and also his impeachment trial starts on February the 9th, and so let's just pray God's will over there. And that's it, I promise.
All right.
That's a lot.
I don't want to take the time to repeat all that. Hopefully everybody heard that.
There's a lot going on in the world, and we forget that, you know, God wants us to pray for those things too. So we pray a lot for personal issues, but there's a lot of stuff going on in our world that we need to uplift too.
Okay.
So thank you for this.
All right, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
Let me just tell everybody how she's doing.
Yes, sir.
Kelly had a lung function test on Monday, and she's up to 40%.
Amen.
Which is fantastic, and it kind of was a shot of B12 for her because she thought she was on the way out, and she's recovered, and the doctor was surprised, and she's surprised. So she just about 20 minutes ago finished up a half an hour bike ride in her room.
Oh wow!
They bought her a stationary bike so that she can ride it, and she's pooped, but she felt good doing that.
Amen.
So, that's improvement. We'll see where she is at the end of 2 weeks. She could be up.
Amen.
Could be close to 50%.
Glory.
Amen. That's an answer to prayer right there.
Amen.
She'll be able to get what she was at, the previous Sunday.
Yeah.
When she to be able to get on a bike, I wouldn't see her getting on a bike that Sunday morning.
No.
Now she's on a bike ride for a half hour?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I'll tell you what, God was in some things on Monday. Brother Jason contacted me. I asked him if he needed anything, and he said, yeah, Kelly wanted some few things that they forgot to give to her. So I said, well, I'm going down that way anyways. I can drop it off for her. Well, he told me Sunday that they can't have no visitors down there to visit her. So, you know, I haven't driven in a city, like a real city like Philadelphia in a long time. And so, you know, I got some police officer blood in me, so it just doesn't mix very well, city and me. And so driving down in there, I said, where is Jason? He said it was down in the heart. I'm thinking, this is crazy. People are crazy. I was like, how do people even live down here with the way they park and everything? But he had pin dropped where the hospital was. Well, it didn't look like no hospital I'm used to of how you go into a hospital. But anyways, the Lord worked it out to get there. So when I pulled up, he said, just throw your four ways on and walk in. So I threw my four ways on. Right when I threw my four ways on, a FedEx truck, a huge 18-wheeler, stopped in that side street where I was at. And so I told her, she was in the car with me, and I said, you just stay here, and I'm running in real quick. That's all I was planning to do, is just drop it off at the security counter, and they're going to take it and run back. Surely I can do that quick enough. So I get out, and I'm running, and next thing I know, I'm halfway up. I got the keys to the car. So I'm thinking, oh, no, if they got to move it, she's stuck. Well, she told me later on she would have just abandoned the car and just left it there. I said, well, that's nice. I don't know who the car that is. So I'm running. I look at one building. I was like, no, that don't look like no hospital. So he said, like a little alleyway. So I find a little alleyway where the entrance was. And I walk in, and a security lady's right there. Walk in. I said, I'm here to drop this all for her. And she's like, okay, put another mask on, because I already had one. She put another one on and go over to that big security counter. So I was like, all right. So I walk over to the security counter, and the guy behind, you know, it's Philly. So I'm used to the South where people are nice, but he's like, what do you want? I said, sir, I'm just dropping this off for Kelly. This is her room number. He's like, well, do you want to take it to her? I said, you want to take it to her? I said, yeah, I could take it to her. I said, I didn't know you. He's like, yeah, just take it to her. End this hallway, just walk down there and take it to her. He's like, but I need to see your license. I was like, oh, no. I said, I don't have nothing on me. I don't have my license. He's like, just go on. So I'm walking down the hallway, right, and there's a nurse's station there, and it says room 117 that way. So I see a nurse behind her, and we were talking, me and Jason were talking before. If you act like you know what you're doing, most people won't say nothing. So I just turn and keep going, and I get about, you know, 10, 15 feet down past her. She's like, hey, you, where are you going? So I walk back like a puppy dog. I'm thinking, I got this bag. I'm dropping it off for Kelly. She's like, how did you even get down here? I said, well, a security guy said I could visit her. She's like, really? She's like, they don't tell me nothing here. She's like, okay, put on the gloves and all this PPE gear and all this and stuff. I said, and then she looks at me. She goes, how long are you going to be in there? I said, well, not long, because I'm thinking my car is parked out there with Melanie in it. So I said, not long. And she's like, well, just go home. So I walk down in there, and then she has all the stuff on her door of things you got to wear. And I'm thinking, should I go in? And so a nurse walks out the other door, and she's like, yeah, you go on in. So I go in. It was hilarious. I was telling Jason, I walk in there, and Kelly, she was sitting on the bed there. I don't know if she was doing something. She looks up at me like, who are you and what are you doing in my room? She didn't recognize me at first, but it was just a blessing how the Lord worked that whole thing out. So I talked to her. I got to talk to her for a few minutes, gave her some stuff, and I run back out thinking, I hope Melanie's all right. So I go back out there. That FedEx truck is still stuck there because there was another 18-wheeler in front of it that was delivering stuff, so they had things backed all the way up. So it didn't, but God worked it all out. So it was a blessing just to get in there and see her. And
I want to tell you something. They stopped at the store to get a couple of things for her that she needed. And it was just basic stuff, some things. Mm-hmm. And then he texted me. He said, does she like chocolate? I said, well, she's a woman. She likes chocolate. So they got her some chocolate. And then my wife, I was on the phone with her, and she was opening the bag up. And she was going, oh, this is awesome. This is great, you know. And then she pulled this book out. And she goes, this is really strange. I said, what? And she goes, we were in Walmart on Saturday, and I'd go into the bathroom. We were buying a bunch of stuff for her to take down there, some food things. And she said, I picked this book up at Walmart and was going to get it, but she said, I didn't think you'd want to spend that much more money because we were already spending a lot of money. She goes, and I just put it back, and it's the very book that she picked up and bought for her.
It's amazing how God does things. Because we were in Target there, and she picked that book up. She picked the book up. I said, yeah, just get it. Get over that many there. And it ends up being an exact.
She was going to get it on Saturday.
That's something. It's something how the Lord does things like that and worked out. So continue to keep her in prayer, that God continue to help her physically. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to see her Monday morning or Monday afternoon. So it was just a blessing to see God work. We're going to continue on here this evening in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and Lord willing, look at verse number 4 and 5 tonight here in 2 Peter. And I don't plan on studying through the book of 2 Peter, but there's some things that I wanted to get to just about adding to our faith. And let's take a little bit of time this evening again to continue on and see what the Lord puts the emphasis on as far as our faith go and adding to it. So 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm gonna put it in context and start in verse number 1 again. And it says, Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 this evening. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Again, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather this evening. Lord, we thank you again for the freedoms we have. Lord, I just thank you for answered prayer. Lord, just the opportunity to see Kelly Monday. Lord, I thank you for the good praise report this evening. Lord, to be able to ride a bike, Father, that's a blessing. Lord, I pray continue to be with her. Lord, strengthen her, encourage her, give the doctors wisdom and guidance. And Lord, just help her to recover, Father, we pray. And Lord, I pray you just be with Jason, Lydia, and Miss Donna, Lord, while she's away. And Lord, just give them the help that they need. And Lord, just the rest of the prayer requests that were brought up this evening, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be faithful to bring them up this week before your throne. And Lord, we just ask now that you meet with us, give us what we need, lead, guide, and direct out of your word, that you receive the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse number 4 here, Peter says, he says, whereby, which also means by which, the things that he listed there at verses 1 through 3, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now again, when you're looking through this and Peter talks about here, he says that there's given to us great and precious promises. It would be impossible to cover in one Bible study this evening all the promises that God has in his word for us. Impossible. It'd take too long to go through the whole word of God and go through every promise that God's made for us. But I want to look at a few this evening. And these are just a few of the promises the Father has made to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the first one is, if you look over in Acts chapter number 13, is the promise of a Savior to the nation of Israel. Peter, talking to the Jews here in 2 Peter, he says that there's given to us and to the Jews great and precious promises. And one of the greatest promises that God's given to the nation of Israel is that of a Savior. Look at Acts chapter number 13 and verse number 14. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 14. It says here, Paul, he's preaching there in Antioch. He says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided the land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, and to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. So, again, I'm not going to go into all this here, but those of the Pharisees and Sadducees, those that study the scriptures there, they should have known that a Savior was coming. It was in the scriptures. Okay, they had the knowledge there to understand that the Messiah was coming and to be looking for the Messiah. And Paul tells them here, he says, of this man's seed, talking about David, hath God, according to his promise. God promised them a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. The second thing God promises is the forgiveness of sins. Let's continue on in verse number 24. And when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwelt at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And when he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people, And we declared unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, which is another promise, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, the promise of the forgiveness of sins by the Savior, Jesus Christ. Number three, another thing that God promises to us is rest. God promises us rest. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It is a blessing that you can have rest this evening. And I'm not talking about physical rest, like sleep. I'm talking about rest spiritually. Knowing that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that your home's in heaven. There's a rest in that. There's a peace that comes with it. And it was promised to us by God. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look what he says here. It says, Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Look, there's a lot of people today coming short of the rest that God's promised them in his word. And this rest comes through Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9. Well, verse number 7. And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, that's talking about Joshua now, not Jesus Christ. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from his. See, you don't work your, you don't, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but you read the whole chapter, it's in context of those working for their salvation, doing works to obtain the appeasement from God. Bringing sacrifices, the ordinances, the statutes, the commandments that God commanded in the Old Testament to appease God temporarily through those sacrifices. The writer of Hebrews here is saying now that we enter into rest, that Jesus Christ has accomplished and fulfilled all those things. And there's now rest for us. And verse number 16 in chapter 4, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Number four, the fourth thing that God promised to us is that someday we'll be given bodies that are incorruptible and immortal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So, promise of a Savior, a promise that our sins will be forgiven through Him, a promise that we can have rest, and also a promise of eternal life free from corruption. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. Paul says to the Corinthians here, he says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God promises to us that someday we're going to have a new body that's going to be immortal and without no corruption in it. So now back over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Just a few of the promises. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. By those promises. See, what those promises should do is it should create in us a desire to draw closer and closer to the Lord until He returns. By looking at those promises and what God has given to us, it should create in us a desire to be more holy for Him while we live here on this earth. That, he says, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, this is where we talked about the other day when I was preaching about how the Bible says that we now are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we should be, but we know it. When He shall appear, we should be like Him, for we should... look over at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. I want to quote it right. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. We are now the children of God, the sons of God. If we're born again, we are now partakers of the divine nature spiritually, in that we are now the sons of God. Thus we ought to daily crucify the old man and put on the new man. And we're going to see this thought process as we go further on here in Second Peter, talking about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. Building up that new man and thus crucifying and putting on a cross daily the old man. Why? Because we're now partakers of the divine nature. God's called us now to purify ourselves even as He is pure. This purification process and the adding to our faith as we're going to go through and look at this. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says this, and He said to them all, talking to disciples, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. It's a daily thing that we have to take up our cross. Daily. Every morning we wake up, we need to put ourselves on that cross. Now, I want to look at three parts of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Partakers of the divine nature. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 20. Paul says here to the Ephesians in verse number 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Okay? Now, that verse back there in 2 Peter says that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? Partakers of divine nature, and we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How does the world corrupt us? By lust. We're still in this flesh. Again, I've said before, we don't have new bodies yet. So our flesh can still be corrupted. It is corrupt. Through lusts that are still in there that we still got to fight daily. Okay, we wake up daily and we got to fight this flesh. And whatever the lust that we have in our own life, it's different for everybody. All of us have our own different battles. But there's corruption there by the lust that are now, that's who we are in the flesh. Look what it says in Ephesians. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If you're not renewed in the spirit of your mind, you're going to drift right back there to that old man and that corruption and that lust in the flesh. You have to renew the mind. And now that's a battle. That's not going to come easy. Because there's a lot of things out here today. Brother Glenn, you were talking about earlier about the how you grew up a little bit and you talk about the farmlands and all that. There's not, now there was back then, but a farmer working a field, there's not much there that's going to tempt him. Right? If he's out, he wakes up daily at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, goes out, milks the cows, and he's busy all day just working in the field. And there's not going to be there much, not saying that it can't, but there's not going to be a lot coming across his eyesight and in his ear gate and his eye gate that's going to tempt him away to lust. Right? He's out there working with cows and animals and plowing a field and out there in the sun and the rain and working hard. That farmer back then does not have the battles that we have today. Okay? Think of how much we're inundated with all kinds of things around us in society today. The Bible says here in Ephesians, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because if your mind is not renewed by the spirit, you're going to fall back to that old man and you're going to cause yourself some troubles and issues. He says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So put off the old man and put on the new man. And when you do that, you'll start walking in a life that is a life of righteousness and in true holiness. Take your Bible and flip over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number... We'll look at verse number 5. Colossians 3 verse 5. Mortify... Therefore, Colossians 3, verse 5, look what Paul says to this church. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to subdue or bring into subjection, as the bodily appetites by abstinence or rigorous severities. To subdue, to abase, to restrain. What are we restraining? What are we subduing? Your members which are upon the earth. Bringing this flesh into subjection every day and every moment that you live. That's a battle. That's a tough battle. Because the flesh wants to have its way. The flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to pray. The flesh don't want to read the Word of God. The flesh don't want to go to church. Some of you men work early morning hours and you work all day. In your flesh, sometimes you're not going to want to come to church. I come to church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. I'm tired. I'm wore out. The flesh is saying, let's stay home tonight. The flesh, but the Bible says here, Paul says you need to mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And look at the first thing he lists, fornication. And then he says, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those are some strong things that Paul is listing here to the Colossian church. He's saying, therefore, mortify your members. And what is the strongest desires in a man or a woman is a sexual desire and food. Two of the strongest desires. And those are two of the main commercials you're going to see on television. Right? Because the devil knows what he's doing to appease to the flesh. And Paul says here, mortify, therefore, your members. Because if you don't mortify them, it's going to affect your walk with Christ. Today, we have a lot more to deal with than those of our forefathers. Not saying that they didn't have temptations. They did. But it's more abundant today. It's more in our face. Everywhere we go, everything we look at. There's very few places you can go today to where music's not being played. Think about that for a second. What store you go to that doesn't play music? Most stores play some type of music. Now, I don't know about you. I like music. And I loved music when I was lost. How many times you find yourself in your store or in a restaurant and all of a sudden a song comes on that you liked when you were lost? And all of a sudden you got to, I don't know about you, but I know me, sometimes I got to catch myself. Because I get caught in there tapping my foot and maybe singing the lyrics a little bit. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You see, because the flesh likes that. But I need to mortify the members of my flesh and say, yeah, you used to like that, but you're dead to that now. You're dead to it. Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, see, and this is where the devil gets in saying, yeah, you like it. Yeah, I did like it, but I'm dead to it now. I'm dead to it. Right? Devil will mess with men with women. Well, you look to her. Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty, but I'm dead to that now. My flesh has been crucified in the lust thereof, and I'm now a new creature in Jesus Christ. Right? The devil knows how to get in that mind game, and if you've got a sensitive heart, he'll work on that sensitive heart to make you think you sinned when you didn't sin. Okay? So realize, if you're in Christ, you're now dead to sin. Sin no longer has no rule over you, but you still have your flesh to deal with. And your flesh can still sin, and your flesh can still get you in a mess. Even though you're saved. Well, how could a saved person do that? Very easily. They still have flesh. And a lot of people say, well, you're just lost. Well, no, you might not be lost. You might very well be saved, but you still have this flesh to deal with, and your flesh can really mess you up. So Paul tells them here, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Why? Because you are now partakers of the divine nature. You are now a son of God. Mortify. Put to death. Bring it. Bring the flesh into subjection. Uncleanness means foulness, dirtiness, filthiness. Inordinate. It says inordinate affection. That means irregular, excessive, immoderate passions. Now that can be anything, and that can apply to any. Whatever it is in your life, there's something all of us got to battle. That's an inordinate affection. It's something that is irregular. It's excessive. It can be immoderate, and it's a passion that we got. Some people it's sports. Some people it's music. Some people it's women. Some people it's their job. Some people it's whatever. It could be anything. Some people, it's their children. They have an inordinate affection towards their children. That's not right. And they put their children before God. No, God's always first. You see, it can be anything, and that's why it takes a walk with God. You get along with God, and you figure out those things out, but Paul says to mortify those members. He says next here, he says, evil concupiscence. Basically, that word concupiscence means lust, the coveting of carnal things, or an irregular appetite for worldly good, an inclination for unlawful enjoyments. Now, brethren, this is where we got to be careful, because Paul says to mortify these things, and then also covetousness. We all know what covetousness is, which is idolatry. And idolatry is as the sin of witchcraft. There's serious things that Paul's putting across to us that can affect our walk. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, it says, and this is where we got to be careful. Romans chapter 1, real quick, and I wasn't planning to look at this, but I want to look at the very, very last verse. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 32. He gives a whole list of things there from verses 28 to verse 31. Paul, to the Romans, list a bunch of stuff in there. But look what he says in the very end of verse 32. Romans chapter 1 verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, those things that are listed in verses 28 through 31 in Romans chapter 1, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. One of those is disobedient to parents. But look what he says. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So read in context. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Be careful with what you subject yourself to if it's in that list and you take pleasure in watching it. Because that's what it's referring to in verse 32. Those that do those things, but then those that take pleasure in them that do those things. The television can very well fulfill some of those things there. This is verses 28 through 31. And that's something that you gotta check yourself up on. Am I enjoying something that is not honoring to God? According to Scripture. If it meets the list there of full of envy, murder, debate, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. I'm saying that these things here can affect your walk with God. It can affect your walk. It can affect how you live for Christ, because we are now partakers of the divine nature. And we're given, look, it may not affect us immediately. Look, I believe this. I really do believe this. I believe the devil is a master of chess. And what I mean by that is when you play chess, if you're a good chess player, a good chess player sometimes is looking 10, I don't know how they do it, 10 to 15 moves ahead of where they're at. I can barely think at a first move of where I'm at in the game of chess, much less looking 10 to 15 moves ahead. But I believe that's how our enemy, the devil, works. He's setting something up tomorrow morning that he's planning to jump on you 2 weeks from now. I believe that. I've seen it happen in my own life. You can look back and say, yeah, this thing started about 2 weeks ago when I let this happen. And I didn't squash it. I didn't cut it off. I let it go on. And you see that in David's life. And I'm reading through David now, and I'm wondering, I've been praying about maybe starting a series on David's life on Sunday mornings. But David, he didn't squash that thing when Amnon, his son, slept with Tamar. He didn't deal with it. He knew about it, but he let it go. And Tamar was Absalom's sister. And Absalom is mad, and rightfully so. He should be mad. That was his sister. And Absalom's all right. And Absalom waits 2 years. David still doesn't deal with it. Now, think about Absalom now. My daddy knows about it, but he's not dealing with it. He lets that thing fester for 2 years. And Absalom goes to David and said, I want all the sons to come out here and I'm going to throw them a party. I'm paraphrasing. He goes out there and he kills them. And then Absalom takes off. And David doesn't deal with that situation now, with what Absalom did. And I'm not putting David down. David's a million times better man than I am. I'm just saying, when you let things go and you don't deal with it when it needs to be dealt with, it's going to cause you major issues maybe years down the road. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. You see it creep up in your life. If you mess up, if you make a mistake, if you sin in the flesh, make it right with God immediately. Say, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, God. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Let the blood cover it. Let me get right back in my right standing with you, God, to where I can do what I need to do today concerning spiritual things that you would have me to do. Don't let it fester. And you see what happens with Absalom, and then he comes in and David's on the run. It's just a mess in the kingdom because it wasn't dealt with immediately. Okay? So mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And the last one we'll look at in Romans, look at chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So Ephesians, Colossians, and Romans chapter 6, all of them can be linked together. What we're looking at this evening, talking about being partakers of divine nature and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right, we're trying to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now look at Romans chapter 6. We're going to close up with this evening. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, look, in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but then that he liveth, but in that he liveth unto God. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You see, daily, you wake up daily, who are you going to yield to? Are you going to yield to your flesh, which is dead? It's done. It's gone. Or now that you have power to now yield yourselves as instruments unto righteousness through the power of the Holy Ghost. Which road are you going to take? To the flesh or to the spirit? That's the decision you got to make. Because you're now partakers of divine nature. But there's still the corruption of lust in this world. This world still wants to pull you away. You still got this flesh you got to deal with. Paul here in Romans chapter 6 says, you're dead to sin. Sin has no more dominion over you unless you allow it. And unless you allow it, you yield to it, and then it grabs a hold and says, I'll take it. No, don't yield yourselves to the flesh. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and into iniquity and iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof now you are ashamed? For any of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved and you keep yielding yourself to sin, death is going to come quicker. I believe in my mind, I believe if you rebel against, you're saved and you then choose to go back into the world again, that's a scary spot to be in my eyesight with God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yield our members servants to righteousness, to holiness, and not unto death. Close with 2 Peter in that verse there, chapter number 4, and we'll pray. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Don't look at what the world's promising you. Look at what God's promised you. Set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All the world has to offer brings corruption. The lust of our flesh, crucify it, because all it's going to bring is corruption and death in your life, both spiritually and possibly physically. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, a lot going over in a short amount of time, Father, but I pray some of it made sense, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us through the rest of this week, Lord, that we'd wake up tomorrow, if it be your will. And Lord, that we would just put that old man on the cross, dear God, and put on a new man, which is renewed in the image of you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would just walk as you walk, Lord, that we'd just be faithful to your word, that we'd grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, that we'd be mindful of the promises that you have given to us, Lord, and Lord, that we would just be faithful to your calls home, Lord, either by death or by the rapture, Lord. Help us just to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And Lord, I pray you just be with the brethren this evening now. Lord, bring us all home safe. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren.